Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And I know why you're still hanging around, because you heard me say Tom Masacker was going to be with us today. That's the reason, isn't it? Yeah, I don't blame you. That would make me want to hang around. Tom's one of the smartest guys we know. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books on branding, especially, including Sandbox Wisdom and also his new book, the most recent one, it's called A Clear Eye for Branding. And he's got a bunch of other stuff coming up that we'll be glad to tell you about in the future. But right now, he's here to talk to us about some stuff that will benefit you and your small business. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's great to be here.
You're pretty excited, aren't you?
I'm always excited.
It's like a dream come true being here, isn't it?
Well, especially since that introduction was the best I've ever gotten. I mean, you understand branding for sure.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, your mother does a good job writing your stuff.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Tom, I have one of Blasingame's third law of small business states that it's easy to start a small business. It's not easy to run and grow one successfully. What do you think about that?
I think you should move it to number one.
Well, number one is the first law, Blasingame's law of small business, is a small business is not a little big business.
No, that's true.
And the second law, the second Blasingame's law of small business, is it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Well, yes. Exactly.
Those are the three laws, Blasingame laws of small business. But what do you think about number three? It's easy to start one. It's not easy to run one.
Yeah, I've had conversations, many conversations over the past 6 to 12 months with a lot of people who have started businesses, revolving around this idea of a brand, and they confuse brand with marketing, and they are separate, but. In any event, I'll ask the question, why'd you start this business? And it doesn't matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the answers are typically all over the place from, because we could make a lot of money, to I'm sick of working for other people.
I'm tired of taking orders.
Whatever it is. And, those reasons.
I got one the other day that I've been telling the audience about. A guy said he wanted to start a retail business. I said, why? He said, because I like people. and Tom, I said, you realize that when you open a business, you're not going to be dealing with people. You're going to be dealing with the public.
Exactly right.
The public is different from people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, and in the past, if people said to you 20, 30 years ago, I'm starting a business, why? To make money, to escape, the 9-to-5, whatever. You had a pretty good chance of potentially succeeding if you made a quality product and you had decent service and you were friendly and all that. That does not cut it anymore.
Hmm.
And I'm having a hard time getting this message across to people.
The bar's been raised.
Well, there's simply too much stuff out there. We don't need another whatever it is. We don't need another bank. We don't need another restaurant. We don't need another coffee shop. We don't need another bar.
We don't need another radio program, folks. We have all we need.
Look, is this true, though? I mean, we don't need another website. What we need are people that can make us happy and improve our lives with whatever it is they're providing. So if you don't go into business with that goal in mind, which is, oh, my, I have an idea of how to become more relevant and how to help people and how to improve their lives through my business, forget it. You know what? You might get people in the door by discounting and running specials and running sales and all that.
And fighting the price war.
And those same people are going to leave you as soon as somebody else does that.
Right.
So, you know, that's the first and most important thing to recognize when you go into business is, why am I doing this? And if it's not to improve people's lives, you might as well forget the rest of the steps that follow that, because everything builds on that idea that you're doing something to improve people's lives, to help people, yeah, to make a difference.
You know, I've had a number of people over the years start a business who they worked for one company, and they learned the business, and they worked for them for a number of years, and they started their own business in competing with their old boss. And you would ask, and if I asked them, why are you doing this? He said, well, he charges too much. I think I can take his customers. I can start my own business and cut his prices. He charges too much. And you know what? They last about a year.
Exactly right.
Because what they don't know is what it really costs to not only provide that product to customers, but to be in business afterwards, after you
Absolutely.
Deliver the product. You gotta make sure you capitalize your business. Hold on to that thought, Tom. We're gonna take a quick break, folks. We're right back after these messages with our good friend Tom Asacker. Stay with us.
This is Douglas Campbell for the Success Coach, thesuccesscoach.com. Congratulations on turning 10, Jim. Just don't outgrow your legendary youthfulness. Here's to a rockin' good time in the next 10 years.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find our show. And how would you like to go back and listen to all the archives of the interviews that we've had with Tom Asacker over the last seven or eight years that he's been a member of our Brain Trust? How about that? What if you could do that? Well, guess what? You can. And in fact, you can podcast them. You can burn them onto a CD and take them with you if you want. Play them in your automobile. Put them in your iPod and play them while you're running or whatever. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Get in shape and listen to the branding wisdom of Tom Asacker. How about that? And who else gives you that, folks? Who else loves you out there besides me? So you can check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out our you can subscribe to our newsletter, check out our blog while you're there. We got articles coming out of our ears that'll help you there. All that's free to you, no barrier to entry. And don't forget to check out askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. And we've anticipated your questions. We have answers waiting on you. And Tom Asacker is our guest, as I said. Tom is the author of A Clear Eye for Branding. Tom, give us your website, please.
Well, that's it, acleareye.com.
Acleareye.com. They can find your books and all your other stuff there, right?
Yeah, there's articles. I've got a running blog where I post commentary on things that I see in the marketplace. And so it's fun.
So we're talking about the how tough it is to be a business owner, and that you better really know why you're doing this before you get into it, right?
Yeah, well, not just why. You've got to feel it. You've got to be going into it because you see something that can truthfully improve people's lives. And the reason is people simply don't have the time to evaluate everything that's out there. Imagine if you just made a list of what are the new businesses that have opened locally in the past 6 months, and then look at the number on that list and tell me, can you go around and spend time evaluating all of these things to see if you should switch? You can't do it.
Mm-mm.
So it has to be compelling. Something really different has to appeal to your feelings so that you say, wow, really? Let me go check that out. Not, wow, really? Let me go save $20. Because that's not going to do it. It's people are just too time-starved, they're too stressed out, they're too anxious, so that something compelling has to grab them and move them there. And once they get there, if you give them an experience that backs that up, something that's relevant, something that adds value to their life, something that saves them time, makes them happier, makes them look better, feel better, then they'll come back. But if not, Jim, just yesterday I said, you know, I think I'm going to open up an online brokerage account, right? So I went and I Googled online brokerage account, and I've got pages and pages of
results. Hundreds.
Right? So then I start looking at them, and this one over here is free because they have social networking. This one here is only $6 a trade. This one here is $9. you know, your mind starts spinning with, well, can I trust these people? Who are they? How should I pay that much? What is this? What's the minimum on that? You get so confused. At the end, I opted out. I said, you know what? I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, none of those guys did the two things that you said a while ago, and that my audience knows. I've been saying this for years now. Don't give people what they need. Give them what they want, and save them time.
Absolutely.
Those are the keys to success in the 21st century, isn't it?
Well, and then you have to be overt with it today. People don't have time to try to decipher little jingles anymore. You know, you have to be in their face and show them that value. Yes, do it in a creative way. I mean, you don't want to talk down to people, but you've got to give them the value and show them the value so that they'll walk over there or pick up the phone or click a link or whatever they're going to do. Because people are not going to spend time trying to figure you out. They're too busy.
You know what was so hearing you talk about that reminded me of a real folly I saw a couple of years ago. There was a one of the big boxes literally issued a press release about their new brand promise. They were so proud of this brand promise. And what they were so proud of is they'd done some research on it, and they found that people liked the new brand promise 3-1 better than the old brand promise. And this VP of marketing put out this statement in this press release about how proud they were, how this new brand promise was going to help them be more successful. And I know the company, and I know that they don't have very good service. And
right.
And I thought, what is he, what ball game is he watching?
Well,
brand promises aren't going to make you successful.
Well, see, people confuse this promise, this idea that a brand is a promise. I've tried to tell people over and over and over that a brand is not a promise, because a promise is something that you're making. A brand is an expectation. It's what a person on the other end thinks he's going to get, not what you're promising. I had a big debate with an academic on this, and she said, listen, it's pure semantics. I said, it's not semantics. I said, if a brand is a promise, I'll tell you what, give me $100, I promise to send it back to you next week.
Right.
And she started smiling. She said, why would I give you $100? I said, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You don't have the expectation that I'm going to send it back. That's why you're not giving it to me.
Exactly. Hold on to that thought, Tom. Quick break, folks. 10 till. Told you we'd get a lot smarter when Tom Asecker joined us. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Tom Asecker, the author of A Clear Eye for Branding. His website is aclear-eye.com. I encourage you to check it out. Anything Tom does or has to offer you is worth the trouble and the price. So check it out and use him to your advantage. He likes being used and abused, don't you, Tom?
Absolutely.
We're talking about why you would start a business and what you really are in it for, what your goals are, what your real goals are. Peter Meyer, one of our Brain Trust members, says, make sure you don't have a solution looking for a problem.
Oh, exactly.
you got to start with the problem and then find the solution, right? Not the other way around. I've seen businesses like that where they said, you know what, I'm going to conquer the world with this, but what he found out, nobody wanted it.
Well, there's a guy right across the street from me that, he came out with the Segway, and he said it was going to take over the world, This is going to be the new mode of transportation.
He didn't check to see that most cities won't let you ride them on the sidewalk, though.
Well, he also didn't check and say, well, people are getting fatter and fatter. We don't want to be moving around on two wheels. We need to move our feet.
Those are pretty cool things, though. I've always wanted to have one. Can you ride one?
Yeah, you know what? I would like one. But the point is that is exactly the niche he should have went after, which is hey, this is a cool thing.
It's fun.
How can we put this thing in cool places and let people
right.
have a cool time with it?
Right.
That was his, and that's what he should have done. He should have been close enough to the feelings of the people.
How's that business doing?
Well, you know what? They've got the things being used on golf courses, and people buy them. And
police officers are using them. Police officers use them.
Yeah, there's some, you know, and they use them. They use them in some. There's some facilities, warehouse facilities, where they get on this thing and they shoot around to pick up parts and fulfill orders. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's being used, but not how he, you
it's
know,
not,
promoted it.
It's not ubiquitous, is it? It's not out there everywhere.
No, and if he set up his business assuming that it was, then he has problems.
Right.
Which was your point about when you set your business up.
Yep.
Recognize what it's going to take to make this thing happen. You know, in the scale that you anticipate.
Find someone's pain and give them a pill first, and then give them an operation if they need it.
Well, and the thing is, and there's so much out there that can be improved. It's harder to do than you think. I mean,
yeah.
To be a protagonist, a champion for something that people really value, something that's timeless, bigger than you are. That's a difficult thing. You know, people look at Starbucks and say, oh, yeah, look at these guys. They serve coffee. It's expensive. You know, they serve $8 billion worth of coffee, the last 12 months. It is tough to do what they do.
Yep.
The training, the hiring,
mm-hmm.
making sure that this is happening exactly the way people want it to happen is
and
a difficult thing to orchestrate.
And the employees that they hire, I mean, these aren't people don't become career barristers, you know, or baristas or whatever they call themselves, but it's tough. Of course, as you know, they're finding that out right now. Starbucks is having a little bit of a tough time. But, you know, one of the things I think is important is that you've got, and you hit it on the head. Not only do you have to find the thing that other people really want you to do for them, it's got to be the thing that you want to do more than anything else on the planet.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the interesting thing. If people are looking for happiness out of their marketplace transactions, and that's what they want today. They want something that does what it's supposed to do and lasts and all that, but they also want to be happy while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, guess what? You're going to have to be happy delivering it. It's got to be something that you want because people can sniff it out.
That's right. If you're grumpy delivering your product, that's not going to make people come back.
Unless they want grumpy. You know, I'm not sure who wants that, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't want to pay extra for that. I'll tell you that. But no, it's the truth. Yeah, and you've got to love what you do so much that you will still love it even after all of the operational stuff that you got to do, like making payroll and dealing with employees and vendors and banks and stuff like that. You got to have enough love for this thing that you can overcome all that and have something left over for your customers.
Well, Jim, loving something is pushing past some of the pains that you experience because you do love it.
Yeah.
And that's what customers really are looking for. They're looking at you and they're saying, does this person have my best interest at heart? Are
right.
they going to love me enough so that maybe when they feel pain, they'll push past it for
right.
me?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim. I enjoyed being here.
I'll see you next time. Tom Asacker, ladies and gentlemen, at ClearEye.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.